In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened. Have you ever experienced that you're asking and nothing happens? You're knocking and you have bloody knuckles? And you're seeking and you're looking and it just doesn't happen? And yet the Lord said, ask and you shall receive, and seek and you shall find, and knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And you know what? That was the life of Monica. And today is the feast of Saint Monica. Shall we say Monica with the bloody knuckles? Oh, yes. Asking and asking and asking for her wayward son, that her wayward son would be converted, that her wayward son would give up his ways, that her wayward son would turn to Jesus Christ. That was Monica. But persevering in prayer, continually before the throne of God, God counting her tears more than her words. So the scripture says that the tears of the righteous are measured in a vial. The tears of the righteous are measured in a vial, and they are before the Lord. That's Monica. There is no Augustine without Monica. Monica, his mother, that woman that persevered in prayer, that woman who continued to pray. When she asked, it seemed like heaven was closed to her. It was like a lead ceiling, and it didn't penetrate. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and she sought and sought and sought, and it seemed like nothing would happen. And knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. And yet she continued to knock, she continued to seek, she continued to ask. And then, God uses a bishop. And the bishop preaches, and Augustine is intrigued. And that's exactly how it happens. He was intrigued, and the Lord had the fishing line out and was starting to reel in this great big fish. But let me tell you this. It was because of Monica. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Persevering in prayer. Again, have you ever felt that you're asking and nothing happens, and you continue to ask and ask and ask, to seek and seek and seek, to knock and knock and knock? Many people, you know, die before their prayer is answered. Many people die, and they see from the other side that the prayer is answered. I'm thinking of my friend Betty Foley. Oh, my Lord, Betty was a prayer warrior. Like, continued to pray. And there are some of her prayers that she never saw answered. And still they are not answered. But you know what? I know that one day from the throne of God, she will see the answer to her prayers as they were on earth as she prayed, and as she prays in heaven. For I know these intentions. I know these intentions. And you see, I know that these prayers will be answered. But right now, still, a lead ceiling. It seems that way anyway. But yet, she persevered. And she continues to persevere now in worship before the throne of God, I pray, for the people that she so loved and was asking and seeking and knocking. You see, because things don't change in heaven, they only are intensified. They only are intensified. The love that we have for God is just intensified in heaven because there's nothing to get in the way. There's no distractions. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened, even when it seems that nothing is happening. So, you know what? I just have to tell you, you have to persevere. Me too. Persevere, persevere, persevere. Don't quit. Don't quit. Please don't quit. Continue. Continue, 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 continue to believe. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, and knock and the door will be opened unto you. Jesus said it. And even if it seems foolish, if Jesus said it, you believe it. That's what Father Bill told us. If I got nothing else from that retreat, I got that much. Even when something seems completely ridiculous, that Jesus said, you believe it because Jesus meant it. Even when it seems like it's so stupid, this cannot be. You just continue to ask and seek and knock. That's all you can do, is to ask and seek and knock. And you leave the results to God. And you leave the results. You cannot make the results happen. That's why we pray. But that's not the only kind of prayer that there is. I'm sure that Monica not only asked for Augustine. She not only asked, but she spent time at the Eucharist. How do I know that? Because in his confessions today, as we read them, she said to Augustine, I want you to remember me at the altar as you celebrate the Eucharist. So she was a woman who not only asked for the conversion of Augustine, but a woman who was before the Eucharistic Lord, who received the Eucharistic Lord, who loved the Eucharistic Lord, who praised the Father for the Eucharistic Lord. So she not only asked, she worshipped, she praised the Lord. She was a woman of faith. A woman of faith. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something about Monica. There would be no Augustine without Monica. And if you would ask me, and no one did ask me, but I'm going to tell you anyway, because it's at least my time, at least the Lord's time. Let me tell you, if you would ask me, I'm going to tell you. The great attack in the West have been against women. Because women are the great prayer warriors, much more than men. And there has been attack on women in such awful way to get them so distracted from the presence of the Lord. Women are the great prayer warriors, not the men. And women were the ones that led people to Christ by their prayers. It's still that way, but I'm going to tell you, it has lessened. It has lessened. And you know how I know that? Because so many women have been taken up in the job market, in really performance, so that they would become like men. And even statistics say that now women have as many heart attacks as men. You know why? If not as many, nearly as many. It never was that way, because now they're under all this stress. I'm not saying they didn't have stress in the home, but it was a different kind of stress. Now they have to manage jobs and manage the home and manage the kids. So women are under the kind of stress that they never were under. Full-time vocation to take care of the family. It's a full-time vocation to take care of the family. It's full-time. But now, you know, many women, they need to go to work because they need to get stuff. Now, I know there are women that have to go to work because they have no spouse. I know there are women that have to go to work, maybe because the spouse can't work. I understand that. I understand that. But, you know, that's not the majority of people. The majority of people, you know, now we've got to have more than one person working. And as a result, the faith is not transmitted to the children like it was. Because the women have always been the transmitters of the faith. It's the way it is. It's the way it is. It's the way it is. Who do you think transmitted the faith to the child Jesus? It was Mary. Transmitted the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But now we have become so distracted that, you know, the women are not what they were at one time. They're not the great prayer warriors. They're the great breadwinners, many of them. Now, I know I'm talking in generalizations, and I believe that, but, you know, there's a lot of truth in what I'm saying, because there has been an attack on women, a diabolical attack on women. Because, you see, if the woman stops praying, her children will be lost. And if she has lost children, if she's a prayer warrior like Monica, and you want to know what happens? Those kids are destined for salvation. Because ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. So if I distract women from the transmitting of the faith, if I do that, we'll have more lost generations. And that's something. Oh yeah, that's been prepared in hell. Prepared in hell. I also want to say that those prayer warriors that are women persevere, because the church depends upon you. The church depends upon faithful women, believe me. We might be a patriarchal church, but without the faithful women, the men have no chance. Believe me, the bishops have no chance. The priests have no chance. You know, I can say thank God for the women who intercede before the throne of God as contemplatives. Thank God. Thank God for that vocation. Thank God. You know, Thomas Merton started off on the right foot. He was a man contemplative. A male contemplative. And then I remember reading, you know, at the end of his life, he would say, you know, we contemplatives more important than just praying for the people in the church and things like that. I said, this guy's nuts. He went nuts at the end of his life. Not only did he go hobnobbing with the Buddhists, he went nuts. He'd lost his way. Poor Thomas Merton started off the best. You read his conversion story, The Seven Story Mountain. The Seven Story Mountain. You read it. You see what God did in a man. He's like Augustine. But you see, there's always going to be a diabolical trick to mess you up. And you know what? It seemed like the devil won. I believe that's why God took him home. That's my own belief. I believe God took him home before he reserved a room in hell. That's what I believe. Now, I don't know if that's true, and probably none of my business, because I didn't die for him, but that's not the way he started off. He started off as a authentic, powerful contemplative that sought the face of God. Oh, what would we do without the people who pray before the throne of God? Even in darkness they pray. Even in darkness interceding for God's children. What would we do without the Carmelites, without the poor Clares, without the precious blood sisters, all through the world before the throne of God, interceding and praying and worshiping and working in the name of Jesus? What would we do? You know, I've heard so many Protestants say, they should be out preaching or doing. Yeah, don't tell me. I tell you, the church would have died a long time ago without these women. And I know the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I believe that. But I'm just trying to tell you something, that God raised up these women to continue to intercede. So what do I want to tell you? I want to tell you to persevere. If you're a woman, I tell you, persevere in prayer. If you're a man, persevere in prayer. And I'm going to tell you, women are stronger than men. They continue. They push forward. They don't quit. I tell you that men quit a lot faster than women. Men quit in prayer a lot faster than women. I know it's a generalization, but you know what? I believe it's true. Look at the cross. Let's see. Neath the cross of Jesus stood his mother, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, Mary, the wife of Joanna. Yeah, they're all under the cross. Okay, the only one that records that John was there is John himself. So he was there. But, the women were there. Who were the ones that went to the tomb to anoint his body? I know it was women's work, but you know what? You know, Mary Magdalene is the one that goes to the tomb with the other women. Who is the first witness of the resurrection? Not a man, but Mary Magdalene. She's an apostle to the apostles, because apostle means one sent to witness the resurrection. Why does the scripture say in Acts 1:14, they were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers? Why do they mention Mary? This is amazing, because you know what? Luke did not have to mention Mary. He did not have to mention her. But the inspiration of the Spirit was in Mary, the mother of Jesus. Why? Because she knew the power of the Holy Spirit in Nazareth. She was the great prayer, and still is. So what do I say to you? Persevere. Persevere. Don't quit. Continue to pray. Continue to seek, continue to knock. And you know, I had a lady call me the other day. She's from Arizona. Beautiful lady. Don't know her name right now, And she said, Father Tom, she says, I received the gift of tongues a long time ago, maybe 1970, but I've been really tortured. You know, is it real? Is it real? So I had to pray in tongues on the phone. I said, it's real. And I know it was real. I know it was real. I said, you know what? When you start doubting about having that gift of prayer, because gift of tongues is gift of prayer, stop praying for me in that way. Because I know that's a powerful prayer. You pray in the Spirit for me when you start doubting that it's real, because I know it's real. And God hears and answers your prayer in the Spirit. That's another way that we need to pray, is in the Spirit. St. Paul says, I'm going to pray with my mind and I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to sing songs and I'm going to sing in the Spirit. St. Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all. That's what he says in the RSV translation. It's from Georgia, I guess. The ability to continue to pray in the Spirit. There are so many people that are listening to my voice that have that gift and don't use it. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Yes, pray in your own intellectual way with your mind, but also pray in the Spirit. It's a powerful way of intercessory prayer. Don't quit, no matter what. Don't quit asking. Don't quit seeking. Don't quit knocking. Don't quit. And we ask the prayers of Saint Monica. Oh, Monica, you are a faithful woman of God. Your prayers and your tears, one for the church, the great Augustine. But there would be no great Augustine without Monica. So today we say, Monica, pray for us and pray for the church and pray for mothers who are interceding for their children. And pray that we would continue to pray, because prayer is so important. Prayer is so important, and it's more than just intercession. We need to intercede, but we need to praise and worship and adore. So tonight at the Holy Rosary, we'll have Mass at 7:30. You're welcome to come. We have Mass every Monday at 7:30 in the evening. And we will have adoration afterwards. So why don't you come to adore? You know, you live like 15 minutes away. Well, you know what? It's worth the drive. Jesus is there. It's worth the drive. It's worth the drive. Jesus is there. Every Monday evening at 7:30, we have Mass and adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you come? And you know, our Mass schedule during the week, on the weekend, you know, at 5:30 every Saturday evening, and we continue to pray for healing afterwards. Why don't you come? Bring the sick on a Saturday evening at 5:30, even Labor Day weekend, we're doing it. Why not? Of course, it's no different. And then on Sunday, our Mass schedule 9 and 11 in the morning. There was a lady who came to our Eucharistic celebration at 11 o'clock. She had a torn rotary cuff, whatever they call it, whatever. It's the shoulder. And I was sitting in the chair because it was so hot yesterday. And I'm in the back of the church saying goodbye to people. And we prayed for her shoulder, and she was able to move it completely. And so she's looking at her husband saying, I wasn't able to do that. You see, after the Eucharist, the great power of God is there. We've just received Jesus. Father Joshi was just told yesterday by Mary that when she prayed with someone who had a pain in their neck for 4 years, as he prayed with that person, completely healed. Well, you know what? That's what God does. Joshi didn't know it, but God knew it. God knew it. And the woman knew it too. It's wonderful. Again, tonight, 7:30, you're welcome to come. Mass, Holy Eucharist, that's right, and then Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. I do want to tell you that I need to hear from people. It's been the summer days, and people forget us in the summer days because everybody's vacationing, and it's wonderful to vacation, but you know what? We cannot continue on every station unless we pay our bills. And I will tell you one thing. I am not going into debt. Don't want it. I have no part of it when it comes to the ministry of radio. No part of debt. If we don't pay our bills, you know what I say? I'm leaving on a jet plane. Because, you know, I'm not going into debt. These broadcasts are a blessing to you. You write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And you make out your checks to In Season and Out of Season, or you can make them out to me. They all go to In Season and Out of Season. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. So what do I want to tell you? Persevere. I want to tell you to persevere despite what seems to be. Please persevere. We are depending upon your prayers in the church. Pray for Archbishop O'Malley. Pray for him, please, Cardinal O'Malley. Persevere in prayer. Pray for me. Persevere in prayer. Persevere. Don't quit. It's too easy to quit and say, God doesn't hear me. God hears you. He hears and answers prayer. Saint Augustine is only Saint Augustine because of the grace of God working through Monica. Saint Monica, Mother of Augustine, pray for us. Saint Monica, you who shine in the light of Jesus, pray for us. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.